Welcome to this Lighthouse Church podcast, where you can catch up on our talks from Sunday gatherings. We're a church at East Lothian, seeking to follow Jesus, build community, and make a difference.
So, some of the gifts listed here sound familiar, right? We've come across some of them before. So, healing. Who's heard of healing? Give me a wave. We've pretty much all heard of the gift of healing, and we've talked about that already. Prophecy. Who's heard of the gift of prophecy? Yep, quite a number of us. Tongues, the gift of tongues, yep. But distinguishing between spirits, who's ever heard a talk on that? I thought not. Say what now? and it's sort of a silence. But this is what's more commonly known as discernment. So knowing and recognizing God's voice amongst all of the other competing noises. That should be on a slide, actually. Discernment is knowing and recognizing, if you click on again, Elohim, there we go, knowing and recognizing God's voice amongst all of the other competing voices. And I think maybe nothing is more important as disciples of Jesus than being able to discern God's voice in our lives, right? Because we all want to be able to hear God, like I do. Amongst us this morning, I'm sure we're all facing different situations that we want to know what God thinks about them. So, God, if you have something to say about my business, about the situation that I'm facing, about my workplace, about my relationship, about my marriage, about my child's schooling, about my mental health, then I want to know it this morning. Like, I want to hear that from you, Lord. And we all come to that point where we realize that what we have on our own is not enough. And so we long for the voice of a heavenly Father who loves us, irrespective of what we've done or what's gone on in our life, who wants to lead us and guide us. But I think one of the challenges that we face in hearing God's voice is the sheer competition for our attention. Because I don't know about you, but it can feel pretty loud in my head sometimes. Anyone else feel like that? You know, I'm like, I want to follow Jesus. I want to hear Jesus's voice. But quite frankly, all I can hear right now is often the inner critic of Hannah Montgomery. Yeah? Or the competing noises of my children bickering over cereal this morning. Or just, you know, anything that's going, the news, or just the stuff going on in the world around me, or my neighbors, or whatever. There are so many voices creating so much noise, it can be very difficult to listen for God in the middle of that. And God rarely yells. He whispers because he's about intimacy and he wants us to lean in, to long to hear him. So listening to God can be a bit like my daughter Grace. She turned 10 this week and we had a birthday party yesterday, okay, and it was loud. So listening for God's voice can be a little bit like being at Grace's birthday party yesterday and trying to have a conversation with Tom during the middle of the party, yeah? Not quite impossible, but certainly difficult, yeah? I'm just leveling with you here. So I just want to briefly break down, what are those other voices? What are those other competitions of noise? Because sometimes when we're aware of them, we have a better framework for tuning into God's voice. So, first voice, the world. So I've got the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're going to go there. The world. The world has this amazing potential for goodness, right? Because God created the world. And it's good, isn't it? There are many things in the world that are good and beautiful and wholesome and holy. But there's also potential for distraction and temptation. I think one of the things that the world or culture might tell us at the moment as a kind of voice is be comfortable, yeah? Go after your own comfort. And that's a big noise. That's often quite a big cultural message that we get. And it's actually very anti the gospel. The gospel says go and be a comfort with the comfort you yourself have received from Christ. It doesn't say make yourself comfortable, settle down, and have a nice house with a like nice garden and send your kids to nice schools. That is not what Jesus and the kingdom says. So these voices in the world can fill our ears. And if we let the world capture our attention, we will spend our whole lives chasing the wrong things. The world. The flesh. What today we might actually call more our ego, yeah? Our desires, our ambitions, our insecurities, our humanness, basically. And some of that is good, isn't it? And some of that is also broken, and I know that in my own life. Sometimes we can be led by God, and sometimes we can be led by ourselves. Yeah? Does that make sense? And so if we let ourselves be led by our flesh, instead of asking God, would you come and shape me and inhabit me, then we inevitably act out patterns of ill health and destruction. And perhaps a really obvious example of this is addiction, yeah? Now, amongst us in our church family, there are a few of us who've really grappled with addiction and know the reality of that, and that requires our compassion and our support as a church family. Addiction can happen to anybody. And there are lots of ways that addiction can manifest, but ultimately, addiction is a way that the body has learned to cope with pain. And it's a really clear physical example of this, of how when we don't bring our flesh and our humanness, yeah, our brokenness before God, and we're helped to heal by the right people, we end up hurting ourselves and often other people too. Is that landing? Is that making sense for folk? Just about, kind of. So the flesh, the world, the flesh, and then the devil. Now, I'm not about to get really heavy or anything, so don't worry about it. this series is about how Holy Spirit is within every follower of Jesus, giving us direction and guidance and passion. But there is also a very real, deceptive enemy of God and therefore of God's people. So today, the spiritual reality is we do have an enemy. And he does have a name. We can call him the devil or Satan. And he wants to sow lies and confusion into our lives. And the devil can play through the world and also through our flesh, our ego, piggybacking on the back of them. So those three things can all be other voices that compete for our attention. And we need to test the spirits. That's what's in this passage, distinguishing between spirits, to know the difference between God's whisper, the lies of the devil, the temptations of the world, and the desires of the flesh, the ego. And that might all be sounding quite old school this morning, but it is, in my experience, it is actually what's real as well. I've known the interplay of all four of those things, and I want to be someone who listens more and more to the voice of God, who has good for me and those around me. So we have to become prudent money changers. Pick up your coin for a minute and say to the person next to you, I want to be a prudent money changer. Yeah, some of you are hating me for this right now. That is okay. I want to hear God's voice. We need to grow so familiar with God's voice that we can tell the difference between what's real and what's counterfeit. So Kim is going to come and tell us a bit more about that.
Okay, so yes, what does discernment look like, and what does a discerning person look like? So to illustrate this, we're going to have a look at the passage in Acts 16, verses 16-34. And that should be on. Brilliant, thanks, Elohim. Okay, so once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." at that moment the Spirit left her. We'll pause there and we'll have a look at this part first before moving on. So having read through this passage, just want to take a few minutes to talk about the questions of what does a discerning person look like and what does discernment do? So firstly, a discerning person is going to have a hunger for truth, for scripture, and for prayer. So Paul and his companions were going to the place of prayer. This was a really high priority for them, and it was a regular rhythm. This was something that they did all the time. It's a phrase that we've seen repeated in Acts already, sort of they going to the place of prayer. So how do we tune into God's whisper? We listen for his voice, and we learn what he's already said to us in the Bible as well. If we know what scripture says, then we're going to be able to hear his voice clearer. And we spend time in prayer, practicing listening what he's saying to us. Someone with this gift will also have a sensitivity to spiritual realities. At a glance, the words that this slave girl was saying seemed true enough. But actually, they could have caused much confusion. So the term the Most High God that she was saying was also used in Philippi at that time to refer to Zeus. And the way to be saved was a common discussion that was had. So allowing this girl to continue could have blurred the thinking of Paul's listeners, and they may have been led to believe that God was just another version of Zeus. Paul recognizes that this girl wasn't just a troublemaker, though, and there is a demonic power working within her. And he uses the authority given to him by Jesus, which is the same power that Jesus has given to us as well. And he commands the evil spirit to leave her. We don't know what happens to this girl next, but she wouldn't have been useful or wanted anymore by her slave owners. There was a growing church in Philippi, and so I like to think that she would have been taken under their arm and brought into that church and cared for by them. So casting out this demon not only meant that Paul could carry on with his message unhindered, but it set this girl free as well. So moving on to the next part of the passage. The slave owners were upset. They didn't care about this young girl. They just cared about their loss of income. So they managed to get Paul thrown into jail, and we'll pick up the story in verse 25. So about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. So discerning people will have a profound peace in the midst of confusion. Paul and Silas were able to pray and sing hymns in the middle of the night, having been unfairly beaten and imprisoned, and their response was to pray and to praise God in that time. In God's sovereign power, he sent an earthquake at just the right time, and although the prison walls stayed standing, all of the chains came loose. What an awesome God we serve. The sort of how this can be such a massive earthquake, and yet it was so specific, the result of what happened. Discernment gives a sensitivity to divine timing. Discerning people should not be hasty. They will seek to align their steps with God's perfect rhythm. By the way, if some of these sound good, these little sound bites, it's probably because C.S. Lewis has said them first. So that's definitely one of his quotes. They'll align their steps with God's perfect rhythm. I love that. I want to be able to do that myself. So the immediate response of Paul and Silas isn't to escape, but instead they chose to show compassion to the jailer. So the jailer's reaction may seem extreme, but his job was to keep the prisoners. And if they'd escaped, he wouldn't have just lost his job, he would have lost his life. But Paul and Silas wait. They had a settled confidence that God was in control and an unwavering belief in his sovereignty. And the result of which was not just that they got out of jail, but they saw this jailer and his whole household set free and believe and be baptized. So discernment is also important for calling out the good that is seen. I think sometimes people have used discernment in order to be critical, sort of, you know, offering advice or into a situation because, you know, they've discerned that something isn't really what God wants. And sometimes, you know, that's the case. It's good to be able to call out if you think things aren't right. But I think it can sometimes be an excuse. But a discerning person has insight and compassion and highlights where they can see God at work when perhaps it could get missed. As the story continues in Acts, Paul has moved on to Athens and he's distressed to see how much idol worship is going on. However, he sees a way to preach the good news by discerning that they are in fact worshippers and they acknowledge that they don't know it all. And when he tells them about Jesus, some believed and followed, including a member of the High Council. So a discerning person will see the negative, but their desire is to bring truth and healing to a situation. I've seen this recently where there was a street preacher who was being confronted by a man who on the surface seemed really angry and aggressive and very anti-God. But you could see the preacher watching carefully and was able to discern that this outward display of emotion that he was having was actually caused by a deep emotional pain. And instead of just encouraging this man to move on and leave them alone, he was able to share God's love and hope with him. He spoke to that personal pain and he saw past the aggression and saw this man's desire for something better. So he was able to share with him the hope of heaven, where there'll be no more pain and suffering and all will be made right. So discernment reveals God's purposes. And by seeing beyond that surface level, seeing beyond just the circumstances and emotions, we're able to see God working at a deeper level. So if we want to be a church here, a lighthouse that follows Jesus, builds community, makes a difference, then we need to be a church that practices discernment. We'll only be able to understand God's purposes and plans amongst us as we do that. So therefore, as members, we're all called to discern together. So whether or not you feel like you have the spiritual gift of discernment specifically, we're all called to discern. So when we have our family meetings, we can discern things together like who our leadership team should be, if we're using our finances responsibly and effectively, and what our priorities for ministry and mission should be. Those who believe they are specifically gifted in discernment should feel free and have the boldness to share where God is leading us corporately, and also have the confidence to let that discernment be weighed and tested by the church family together. So as the passage that Hannah read from Corinthians points out, the gifts given are for the common good. So it's very rare that God gives us a gift which is just for us. We receive it and it is used through us for the good of other people. So therefore, if you're particularly gifted in discernment, then I'd really love to encourage you to use it in a church setting and when we're here to listen for God's voice here as well as in our own life. So have your eyes and heart open at gatherings to see if there is someone here that needs that discernment, that wisdom that God is giving you for someone else, to be able to see when someone needs prayer and needs a wise word. And also, if you see something that is clearly of God, so Hannah was talking about whether something is of God or of the flesh or of the devil. When you see something that is of God, not just to sort of smile and think, oh, that's of God, but to call out that good and say, this is great, to be encouraging, say, this is of God, this feels like the right thing to be doing. Don't let it go unnoticed. So discernment gives confidence in the current climate. In today's fast-paced, social media-hyped, politically influenced world, it can be easy to forget the unrushed process of discernment. We see news headlines and sensationalized clickbait stories and can be drawn in and tempted to believe whatever the algorithms feed us. I read this just a couple of days ago in Psalm 119, verse 37, and I thought, wow, this just can speak to us in a completely different context than it was written, but it's great. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. I thought that was great, because it can be so easy just to be watching things that just aren't good for us just because they're in front of us. So yeah. Let's have God's life in us. I just want to speak a little bit into the current political climate, because it seems just like that's what's competing for our attention at the moment. And now more than ever, it seems that you need to side with left or right, to choose a side, and then the other side is labelled the enemy. And once you've chosen a side, that you're kind of in a box in that category with everyone else, and you need to align with all of their views. When in reality, you can be, for example, conservative and compassionate, liberal and hold strong faith beliefs. And within Lighthouse, I know that there's going to be many different political views, and that's okay. What matters for us as a church family is that God says to be able to know right and wrong, we need to know what he says is right and wrong. We need to use his standards, whether we're right, left, blue, red, yellow, green, whatever we might feel that closely aligns with us, we need to actually work out what God says is right and wrong. So Isaiah 28:15-17 says, we have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge, the lie, and water will overflow your hiding place. So it's God that provides our safety, not any other human structure, it's God. So just a plumb line, do you know what a plumb line is? Yeah, good. I probably don't need to explain this then, but I will. So it's what builders use to ensure a wall is completely straight. So I've got one here. Nathan, could you just come and hold it for me? Here is my glamorous assistant.
Behave.
Okay, so the weight keeps it centered and it goes straight down. It doesn't go sort of to the left or the right, it doesn't lean, it is straight down. And that is that's how God is describing his righteousness. His perfect righteousness is where justice and mercy and law and grace meet. And that's what we need to use to discern whether something is right or wrong. Thank you very much. So it's good to have an awareness of, and even to engage in politics, but we just remember that God is above all of that. We sing that line in the song where we sing, the name of Jesus is above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. That's his rightful place. He's above all of that. Becoming a church that practices discernment means choosing to slow down where the temptation is to jump to conclusions too quickly. Discernment means choosing not to comment, whether typed or spoken, when actually silence is perhaps the better option. It means pausing to ask God or to check our motives and see if we have peace before we leap into action sometimes. So just to finish off, Hannah is going to help us think how we can really practically discern and make this something that we do as part of our everyday lives.
Excellent. Thank you, Kim. It was really helpful exposition of Acts and thoughts on discernment. So I just want to try and land what Kim and I are bringing this morning with a bit of practical application. So you might be thinking, great, well, I've heard all of these things about discernment. I've heard a pretty epic story from Acts 16. So what do I do? You know, how does this work out for me? We have the gift of discernment, the spiritual gift of discerning. And then we have the practice of discernment, which is something that we're all called to if we follow Jesus. So what does this look like for us? So I think it means that we have to learn to be people who can hear God's voice. And do you know, hearing God's voice is for everybody. Jesus actually says that when he's with his disciples. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Yeah? He didn't say, some of my sheep might hear my voice, yeah? He didn't say, occasionally I might let my sheep overhear something significant, or even the leaders amongst my sheep will hear, yeah? He said, my sheep will hear my voice. Like, give me a wave if you are a sheep. Okay, that is everybody here. If you're following Jesus, you're a sheep. So Jesus said, you will hear him, yeah? You will be able to hear and then follow after him. The inference is that a sheep hears the shepherd's voice so that when the shepherd says, time to go into that yonder valley and eat that yummy grass, they can follow, yeah? So it will be good for them. So hearing God's voice is for all of us. So my first encouragement to you is let's get to know God's voice. That's the first slide. Thanks, Elohim. Get to know God's voice. God speaks through scripture. So if we're not regularly reading scripture, we're not giving ourselves a leg up on hearing God's voice. And God speaks through nature. God speaks through pictures. God speaks through visions. God speaks through friends. All so many different ways that we can hear God's voice. So get to know how God speaks to you. And if you would like some help working that out, then Kim or I or any member of the leadership team would be more than happy to sit down over a cup of tea or coffee, if that is your beverage preference, and chat about what does that look like? What does listening for God's voice in your life look like? Second suggestion, how do we discern? Ask others. So God has made us for community. None of us have total self-awareness. I most certainly do not. And sometimes we need other people to help us in this practice of discernment. So being church family together means that we notice and we nurture the presence of God's Spirit with and for each other. So amongst us, as we grow in friendship as church family, I would hope as we're going deeper in communities that we can ask people to help us. And here are three types of people that I think you might want to ask to help. So firstly, people who we can share with. Someone who might say to you, hey, or you could say to them, sorry, I think God might be saying this to me. What do you think? So when we had our community round on Thursday evening, it was actually Grace's birthday, so we had like a party tea, and it was complete chaos, but it was a lot of fun. That's the kind of context where I could turn to someone like Becky or Emma and say, hey, I think this week God might have been saying to me, blah, blah, blah. Like, does that resonate with you? Like, what do you think about that? People that we can share those kind of vulnerable wonderings of the heart with. People we can share with. Number two, people who can call us out. I have definitely benefited from these people in my lives. People who can call us out on our egos, on our flesh, on the bad or destructive things in our lives and say, hey, I have noticed this and it is not going well for you and I love you too much not to say something. Yeah, we all need those people too. People who can call us out. And then thirdly, people who can see things in us. And I guess that correlates to what Kim was saying about calling out the good. Hey, I notice, Kim, that you come really alive when you're teaching from the scriptures, and it obviously really brings to life something that God has placed in you. People who can call out the good. And do you know, you have to choose to let someone get close enough to you to notice those things as well. So asking others is a good way that we can grow in discernment. And then my last encouragement to you guys is to practice regularly. So I'll come on to what's written up there in a minute, but just to say, it's better to think of discernment as a daily vitamin, not a one-hit antibiotic wonder, all right? We're in a marathon, not a 100-meter sprint. So like my children learn the piano, it can be frustrating, but practice, practice, practice makes it perfect. So discernment is not just for the big life events, which I think is sometimes how we can think about discernment. I need discernment in order to decide who I'm going to marry or if I should take this job. But discernment is actually also for the very ordinary moments of life. You know, I'm at work and I'm trying to work out, how do I respond to this colleague that's just said this thing? Or I'm with my grandkids and they are pushing my buttons and I just need to know what the right thing is to do about them right now. Or I'm having a difficult conversation with my partner, my spouse, and I need to know how to move forwards with this. In those moments, we need to be able to hear the whisper, the quiet knowing that is Holy Spirit speaking to us. And then, of course, the more and more that we practice discernment in our everyday lives, in those ordinary moments, the more that we'll be able to hear him when we're discerning things like, should we move? Should we move house? Should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Should I let this big part of my life go or not? And so I just wanted to share with you one of the ways that I personally have been trying to grow in the gift of discernment is to practice something called the examine. And the examine is a very ancient way of prayer, and it was developed by a guy called Saint Ignatius, okay? And it's not something to be intimidated by. It's just a very ordinary way, basically, to reflect on your day. It's something that Christians have been doing for centuries with some very simple questions. And here are the questions. So this is something that I try and do at the end of the day, most days, and I do it slightly more intentionally once a month. So review the day with God. God, I'm here. I'm lying in my bed. I'm trying not to go to sleep because I'd just like to take this time with you just to think over my day. I want to review it with you, Lord. Where did I feel closest or nearest to God? So this is what Ignatius would call consolation. I was consoled by God's Spirit. Where did I feel closest or most connected to God? Where were the moments where I came alive, where I really enjoyed what I was doing? What are the parts of my day that I'm really grateful for? I can bet you that God was there. If there was something good, God was there. Where were you closest, nearest to God? And then, where did I feel furthest from God? And those are the moments that Ignatian called desolation. Yeah, it's quite a strong word, isn't it? I was desolate. I was down. I was low. I was disconnected from God. And I just try and take the time to just really notice those moments. Maybe there's only one or two in the day. If it's a bad day, there was maybe more than 10, you know? And to note them down. And then I just spend some time praying for tomorrow. I dedicate myself once more to following Jesus into the following day. And the more that I have been doing this, the more I've been able to recognize God's voice in hindsight. Yeah, looking back, but therefore, the more I'm recognizing God in the present moment, because it's like a muscle, it trains it. You train your spirit to see God at work, to listen for his voice. And if you're thinking, gosh, blimey, doing that every day, by the time I get into bed, Hannah, at 8:45 or whatever time it is, I'm out, you know, 2 minutes and I'm... Yeah, well, That is sometimes me. So it might be slightly more realistic to maybe do that once a week, just to try and take 20 minutes. Maybe if you've not ever explored the practice of journaling, that could be something helpful. Get a little notebook, just write it down just once a week. Try and reflect back on your week. Where were the moments I felt most connected to God? Where were the moments I felt disconnected? So it's just a suggestion as we think about this gift of discernment. How can we grow? So get to know God's voice, ask others, and practice regularly. So discernment, a wonderful gift, a wise practice, deeply needed in the church today, but also in the world, right? I don't know about you, but I look out at the world, I'm like, gosh, we need godly, wise people who are walking in discernment, who can discern the times and seasons and speak with wisdom. So we're going to respond. We're going to pray together. Do you want to come on up, Brooke and Nad? Just want to invite us to stand and let's just ask God what he might want to say in this moment. Is that okay? If you're able, do stand with me.